Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, May 11th. The year is 2017, and we're here on Earth.
Just in case.
Yes, just you need to know, you know. Yeah. If you just came back, if you're a rocket man or something like that, you know.
I'm a rocket man. What if some guy's like, I am. Thank you.
Exactly.
Finally.
Yeah, somebody's welcoming
yeah,
back to
geez.
Earth. There you go.
That's so funny.
Unless you've just been high, you know, in a natural way.
Yeah.
And then you need to come back down anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. You know what's funny? I always look at CNN for news. I thought I'd take a peek at Fox News. There's a lot more fun, irrelevant news on Fox.
Yeah, because they don't want to talk about what's going on.
Not a lot of politics here.
I put on Instagram for a hot second. Did you see their headline said James Comey resigns?
Yeah, I saw that
like
on TV, right?
Yeah, it was a screenshot. And they were like, someone was like, Oh no! We're now hearing he was fired. He was fired. We're like, yeah, he was always fired.
Yeah, that's when they rush to bring the news to you. You know.
Yeah. But even BuzzFeed had broken it before Fox News.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. Not a good sign.
Not at all.
No.
Well, anyway, yeah, it was my birthday yesterday.
Yes.
And you know what? It's not long enough, Tori. I know some people celebrate
birthday
like
month.
Birthday month.
Yes.
Birthday day or week.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never. It's like you like the attention. You know, I like being like the star for the day and
right.
stuff. But one day is not enough to get everything done, you know?
What do you mean? Like,
because, like, if you want to, like, go out, get a massage, go to the beach,
mm-hmm,
all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got time for all this, you know? Although I would love to have done it, you know? So maybe I'll do it over the weekend or something.
You know what you do? You get a massage on the beach.
Ah.
You multitask.
There you
this
go.
Is who you talk to right now.
Yeah.
You multitask.
Where do you find that exactly?
At Shutters, at the very nice expensive ones have the massages on in a cabana on the beach.
Really?
Oh my God. It's the best way to have a massage.
Unless you go in Venice and you just go with one of the weird dudes.
Yeah, or just ask a guy to rub your shoulders when you're at the Venice Boardwalk.
Okay.
That would also not be creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see our guest is calling in early. If you're listening, please call us back in a few minutes. We're going to have to take care of some business here. I did tease Black Mirror when we ended
yes!
the show last
oh
night.
God,
so I got to tell you.
Okay.
I started watching The White Bear. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Okay. And I finished watching it last night.
Okay.
Yeah. So I watched it in two parts.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, I was very disturbed after that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it'll kind of fuck with you.
It does.
It does. And it's gotten a little bit creepier as time has gone on politically and the climate has changed, like literally the climate and everything else. And it gets creepier and creepier. But there's some that are just like, what was The White Bear about? Tell me, remind me what
okay,
the whole
I'll
thing.
Remind you. The woman wakes up and she doesn't know where she is.
Right. She's in
her
cabin
house.
Thing.
She's in her house,
right.
actually, I think. Yeah, and she gets up and she doesn't know where she is.
Right.
And then she goes outside. There's no people. And then she sees people are taking videos of her with their phones everywhere
right.
she goes.
Right, right, right.
So then she realizes she's starting to be chased by...
That's right. Yeah, I remember this one. And
right.
it turns out that, yes, and this is a like a place people go...
Yeah,
and they
yeah,
can
yeah.
be like for punishment. Yeah,
for punishment.
Yeah.
And wow. What yeah. I mean, it was very disturbing
yeah.
to me. You know,
and it's going to be disturbing, but it brings up a lot of stuff
it.
That you and I talk about.
Right.
That I think is so intriguing for you.
Right.
It is the Twilight Zone of the modern day.
It is,
and it's really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the American episodes though. Because
yeah, they're great.
The
you can skip
one.
To them too. They're you know they're right. they're only contained. The one that everyone. Really, I'm excited to see Robert Downey Jr. bought the rights to this one story is the one, oh, I don't know the name, but it's what they can see the memories in their eyes.
Oh,
I think
wow.
it's like five
oh,
or
yeah,
six.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I've seen that.
That's the one that is like, could happen, like soon for me. And that's when Robert Downey Jr. bought the rights to that to make a whole movie just on that. I'm like, you should watch that one. That's crazy.
Wow,
they're
I'll
all
check
great.
It out.
They're
yeah,
all
right?
great. Yeah. I'm glad you liked him.
No, I did. I did.
I know
like
you're uncomfortable. You're like, I liked them, air quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like it or were you too uncomfortable?
No, I liked it, but it was disturbing to me. You know, in many ways, you know, I mean, the reason why she was being chased and all that stuff, you know, and the characters. And I mean, they made it sort of spooky, too, you know?
Yeah, and I got to say, the
like
acting
in the woods
is so real.
With those bodies hanging.
With the trees, so, yeah, I know. Yeah. Now, that one's particular. They're all spooky, but that one's, like, more spooky. Yeah. But the acting is phenomenal.
Yes.
The set direction, the production, the value of it is high. It's great.
Right.
It's just well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It reminded me of a video game, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, because, very much so. She's
you know, when they were
through.
Chasing?
Absolutely.
And when the other girl tells her, here, follow me, yep, you yep. know, and do this. Those are video games.
Totally.
You know?
And I think that's probably playing a part in that modern
probably,
version of that. Yeah,
because yeah, it has something to do with the game, too.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
But see, like, it brings up a lot of good conversation and philosophical debates on where does privacy and the phone get you? There's one in which the new American episode, I won't tell you anything, but I said, Bryce Dallas Howard? Yeah, I think so. It starts with her on the phone, and it looks normal. And you realize, though, that everyone's on their phone, which is kind of normal, uh-huh. but that they don't get off the phone and that they have to, like, stay on the phone. And I'm like, we're almost there. Like, yeah. if you go outside and it's, like, with a bunch That's of, like, true, millennials, right? it could look like a scene from that show.
Yeah.
So, man, it is interesting.
I know.
I highly, highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this...
I know. That one was commentary also on our use of phones or videotaping everything.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a commentary all on what's private, what's not, what's videotaped, what's not, what's entertainment anymore, and what's being, just creepy, you know?
Right.
Being just a stalker. What is it? You know, Snapchats, you're following people, what they eat, what they're doing every day. Is it the same thing?
Like, right.
I thought it was brilliant. But what's funny is today, yesterday, Chuck Todd called what's happening a failed plot of House of Cards. And I was thinking, or Black Mirror, because I don't think even Black Mirror would do this one. But in the Oval Office yesterday, Trump met with the foreign minister and the ambassador to Russia, and the U.S. press was not allowed. Only Russian press was allowed in the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah, I saw the headlines.
So in Russia,
so
the photographs
what is that all about? Okay.
So he didn't allow American press. He allowed... So this is being explained to Chuck Todd live, and Chuck Todd says, wait, slow down. Are you trying to tell me that the president of the United States was meeting with the Russian ambassador and the ambassador, the foreign minister, in the Oval Office, and it was only photographed by Russians? And she said, yeah. And he goes, this is a failed plot on House of Cards.
Wow.
That's so scary.
Wow.
Russian press with Russian political figures in the Oval Office. That's terrifying.
I know. You know, well, look, in a way, I think we don't want to be adversaries with Russia.
Right.
But he's like, he's one-sided kind of, you know. He's doing it too obvious.
It's almost like he wants to get caught. Like I told you again, it's so obvious. And at some point, when you insult everyone, but you don't insult any Russians, why?
Right.
Right? Like, why?
No, he's going overboard and trying to appease them, and I don't understand that.
So, it's
But
very...
maybe he's got some plan that we don't know
no,
about.
No, he doesn't.
You know?
He does not
maybe
have...
We'll
everyone
have
says
peace.
This, and he has no plan. So, what's interesting is, again, Saturday Night Live is going to be so good. So, reports have come out about the firing of James Comey, and again, there was no senior staff meeting, no one was told, he did it on his own letterhead, which has never been done, and everyone went crazy. And when Sean Spicer, the press secretary, heard, he was the last to know. So apparently he was hiding outside, I think I've told you this, quote, behind bushes with people trying to figure this out, and then had an impromptu meeting with the cameras dark so he wouldn't be on camera. And then finally being chased by reporters as he ran to his office. Okay. So everyone now has started a meme of Sean Spicer hiding behind two bushes. And they're using George Bush, the bushes, and then it's Sean Spicer behind him. So I was like, SNL is going to have, they're going to bring back Will Ferrell and Dana Carvey as the two bushes, and Melissa McCarthy is going to stand behind them and hide behind two bushes. But man, it is a bad visual.
Wow.
So yeah, he literally hid in the hedges, they said.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much
it's chaos.
A Saturday Night Live episode, you know?
They were like, he literally was hiding in the hedges and being like, go away, turn your cameras off.
Yeah. You see, there's too much distraction from the politics with this administration, right. You know?
And a lot of people are saying this is what now are you thinking about Flynn? No. Now are you thinking about Comey? No. You're talking about Sean Spicer. It's just like the way they do it is you think about the next distraction. It's all chaos.
Right.
So you never remember the last thing.
That's true. Yeah. And we move on, right?
Mm-hmm. And it becomes normal.
Yeah.
And that's how a dictator starts.
Okay, well, don't take it that far.
It does.
We're not going to have dictatorship here.
I agree with you completely. Okay. But I'm just saying these are baby steps that any dictator 101 would use. Mm. It's like normalize chaos. Mm. Make it so like you are the only one people believe. It's like weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let the press in. Right. It's like weird. Hide
behind
bushes.
But this thing with the press, man, that's going to be big. Right. When did this happen? Last
yesterday.
Night, right?
Yesterday. So the only reason we found out is Russia in the media released all the photographs. There's our president. And they're like, well, where's our pictures? They said no American press was allowed.
Wow.
So that's the Oval Office, man.
Yeah.
That's not even the West Wing. That's the Oval Office with only Russian foreign press. I don't know. There's something about the allowance of having that, you know, closeness to the president. That's crazy.
Yeah. I know. If it's at the expense of Americans.
They were literally rejected. So that's, and it's just weird.
So nobody knew they were even there, those Russians?
People, first of all, knew, but no one was allowed to take photographs.
Right, right.
So there was no photographs released. So like everyone was like, yeah, Trump's meeting with the prime minister or the foreign minister, but unless there's art, no one's really interested. Right. And then all of a sudden we go to Russia news and he's all over the Russian news. And we're like, well, use these. And so people are like, it turns out it was only Russians allowed in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it reminds you a lot of going back to that Cold War where.
No, that's you know, true. That's true.
I mean, I wasn't alive then, but you know, you think about these where all of a sudden Russia becomes the big enemy and it's just weird to bring him into the Oval Office. Like
right.
That.
And the whole point is to make Russia a friend, you know?
Yeah. But it's like not on the expense of Americans.
Yeah. No, they'll be friends of his, but you know.
And now someone literally had to ask Putin if he was the one to fire Comey. I'm not kidding. And he was like, no, but and then at one point Tillerson, Secretary of State, was walking with the Russian ambassador and he goes, Andrea Mitchell yells out, what do you feel about the Comey firing? And he goes, he was fired? You're kidding. And like sarcastic and just walks out of the room.
Really?
Like he knew all along. It was so weird.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I'm
what
so weirded
do,
out
man?
By how like,
know,
blatant it is. You're right, Sam.
I know what you mean. I know.
So, like, in your face about it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, what could he do, you know?
You just go on.
Yeah, you know.
And you have
and
SNL.
Hope for the best, yeah.
Yeah, you make fun of it, and you remember that this will be a time in history in which we will be somewhat laughed at. And you move on.
Yeah, I know.
You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be just kind of a darker time in politics,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and take our guest
Yay.
Right now.
We've
been waiting patiently. And we're going to be joined by, hold on a second, hi, welcome to the show, my.
Hi. Thank Hello. You. I'm so glad.
Of course. Mai Vu, welcome to the show. I know you've been calling, but this is the time to call, so I couldn't get to you right away. But thank you for staying persistent and keeping on trying. Where are you calling us from this morning, Mai?
Oh, I'm so glad.
You there?
I'm sorry. I need to turn this thing off, first.
Okay.
I'm calling from Pleasanton, California.
Pleasanton? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Pleasanton, California.
Oh, isn't that like where there's a military base or something? Right?
We used to have something out here, but then they took it all down, and now it's there's no condos.
Because I remember
condos.
It was like Fort Pleasanton.
Yes,
I remember that. Yeah,
yeah now
yeah.
It's condos.
Oh, wow. How cool is that? That's cool. So, and where did you grow up, Mai?
I actually grew up in Vietnam. I was one of the boat people, the big heroic escape and rescued and came to the United States in the 70s as a boat person immigrant and built my life forward.
Wow. I never thought I'd meet a boat person. I've read all about you. Tell me everything. This is so fascinating.
Yeah. So did you come as a child?
I came when I was 12 years old. And it took us 3 times to escape out of Vietnam.
Wow.
And I almost died on the journey because I couldn't eat anything and I kept throwing up. And finally, we were rescued on the 9th day.
Wow.
And we travel on this ship for 2 months around the oceans until we finally end up in Japan, and we lived there for 10 months until the United States approved of our immigration, and then I got to come to the United States.
Wow. What a story.
Oh,
huh?
My God. This is incredible. And yeah. I was like, hey, guys, I couldn't find my slippers this morning. My feet were cold. This is incredible story.
Some
this
people
is
go
so,
through a lot.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you remember it a lot, or have you repressed a lot of that? I know, you know, children tend to, you can either repress or you really remember it vividly.
No, I remember it because it was such a life-changing experience
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
And the most important part was when I was lying there on the boat, almost died, and I saw my mom praying over me, and I thought, oh my God, I'm in trouble, so yeah. I need to check in and see what's happening. So I asked God, you know, and I'm like, am I going to die? And as a child, I heard this voice that came back and said, no, you're not going to die. You have wow. work to do in this world, and you haven't done it yet, so don't worry.
Oh my
That's
God.
Awesome. So you had a guardian angel there somewhere. Wow.
I had a voice somewhere that comes out and talks to me when I need it, you know. So anyway, I just focus on fantasizing about when the next time I'm going to have my Coca-Cola. That was the visual that I had.
Is that right?
As a thought. Yeah.
Really?
I just remember, you know, I replayed the scene of like opening a Coke bottle, hearing the fizzle, and feeling it on my upper lips, and just relive that. That was the thing that brought me joy and hope in that moment.
Yeah.
This should be a Coca-Cola commercial.
I was like, all of a sudden, I want a Coca-Cola.
But
that's
it's a symbolic thing, yeah. I think, more. You know, it represents America and freedom.
It
and
does. It
things
does.
Things like that, you know.
It
so,
does. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow, very cool. So you ended up here in California?
In California, yes.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So
when the Silicon Valley just popped up, and my parents took on 2 jobs and put us through, you know, just built their life from zero when they were 40, 45 or something like
very
that.
Very cool. And do you have siblings? Are you a big family?
I have a younger brother. My parents actually had only 2 kids, so we were very small. And I guess they had always knew that we were going to end up in America because they even named us with names that is transferable into the United
oh, wow.
States, into a foreign country
yeah.
somehow.
Hey.
So
yeah.
so we were very compact so we can immigrate easily, I guess.
Yeah. Well, good thinking there, you know.
Wow.
So then you've done you growing up here and everything. Was it difficult for you not knowing the language and the customs and everything?
It was extremely difficult, and I didn't have time for it because
yeah.
I was so busy trying to learn and assimilate. And
yeah, as a child, you just want to be accepted, right?
Yeah. Yeah, as a teenager, it was really difficult because, you know, pretty much I didn't have a dating life when I was growing up because I was an outcast. I was weird looking. I was strange. Being Asian at that time was not cool.
Mm, right.
Now it's cool.
Now it's the coolest thing in the world. That's so true. It's so true.
Right.
So true. That's so interesting that you felt, have you always then felt somewhat on the outskirts, like trying to fit in? Because like even as a boat person, you've got to imagine that's got to be like a sort of a refugee, like mental feeling of I've got to work harder. Is that sort of in your blood?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got to work harder. Everything can be solved by working hard at it,
wow.
you know, and persistent and disciplined. And I do. I have always felt like I don't fit into my culture anymore because I'm so Americanized.
Right.
But in this culture, I'm not really a white person, even though, you know, I feel really white inside me. But on the outside, I'm yellow.
Right.
So I'm a banana.
Yeah. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That's funny.
I love that.
So, well, this is awesome. So, and I know many people have extra motivation when they come from adversity, you know. So did you find that was a motivation for you to really succeed?
Always.
Mm.
Always.
Yeah.
And the whole experience of always looking for freedom is also in my blood. You know, I'm always looking for what else is there to life, what else is there to relationship,
mm-hmm.
who am I, and you know, why did I cross an ocean?
Yeah.
Wow.
To be here. So that's always my question. Is that why did I cross an ocean to be here?
Wow.
You know, so that I can settle for this.
Wow.
I, you know, what else should I be doing or feeling or expanding into?
Yeah.
So now you're a coach, really, and really helping a lot of people. I actually, the only time in my life that I really was so low, I went to a life coach out here, and I got a lot of help. My life, like, got so much better. Yeah.
So those things.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm one of those people now. But I was like, dang, my life is great now. I got a boyfriend. I got a job. But you have this step-by-step process, the three P's, peasant, princess, and priestess, the core parts and qualities that live within each of us. I was wondering if you could tell us about the three P's.
Well, anytime you do something, ask yourself first, am I dating like a peasant? If you're a career woman, am I being, you know, an executive, but acting like a peasant woman? That is the first state that a woman comes from, is that the state of hardworking, putting your head down, you know, putting everyone else first. And that cool peasant woman inside us is, she's very innocent. She just want to work hard, and she thinks that if she just work hard enough, people will see her and love her and promote her and give her the good things that she wants. Unfortunately, when you're just stuck in that mode, you end up with more work but not much fun.
Yeah.
And you get really resentful because all the goodies go to somewhere else.
Makes sense, you know. And that's the thing. So you've discovered a lot of ways, I guess, to cope. And things. Did you have to go into formal training to do all this and to know all this?
Oh yes, I'm actually the world's first Asian female certified coach in the world.
What?
I came to coaching when it first came out. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, very cool.
You're the first in everything. This is crazy.
23 years ago, you know, I quit my corporate job and I was looking for it. I don't know what the it was, but I need to go find it. So I found coaching, life coaching. And at that time, there were only two schools of life coaching. And one of them happened to be in my neighborhood.
Wow.
So I went and, like they say, I came, I saw, and I conquered.
Wow.
And I wanted to be the first Asian certified female coach in the world.
Wow.
That's cool.
Good for you.
So now I want people to follow us. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Is it Mai or May?
Most people with that name, it's a common name. So most people with that name, it's Mai, but I happen to go by May.
Okay. So I said it right, but I'm glad I asked. So now we can call you, with the right pronunciation, of course. Okay, so you have a website people can follow us. It's hotlifehotlove.com. Tell us what that is. Hot life, hot
all
love.
All of us deserve to have the hottest life possible with the hottest love possible. I mean, if it's not hot, why bother, right?
That's true. Give me some hot loving.
Yes,
baby.
Hot loving.
Yes, and hot love can go from all the way from, you know, all of your relationships are working well and that you feel like you're so happy with your brother, sister, family, blah, 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 or all the way to your intimate partner where you have really hot love. You have hot sex. You have hot communication. You can share your full self with each other. That is something that we all want.
And when
you have that, your life is really hot.
You know, it's funny. Hot doesn't have to be like Kendall hot, which is actually not hot because that guy doesn't even have genitals.
No.
So he's not hot at all. I mean, he really couldn't help.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Right, thank you. But hot is interesting because I've never heard anyone say this, but the way you phrased it, hot communication, there is something that turns me on when my husband and I are getting each other more and not having to explain it. We're just communicating better.
Mm.
There's something very refreshing and like new and very exciting about that, and that comes from you know we're almost 4 years in into the marriage, so it's like I like that word, hot communication. That's very good.
And hot actually stands for something in my world. It stands for, the H stands for heal. You heal your relationship wounds so that you come to the table full, and then the O stands for you're open to the invitation of love. we're constantly being invited to love in every aspect of life, but we're always saying no, or maybe, or not now, mm-hmm. which is also a fancy form of no, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the O, and then the T stands for trust. Trust that you can have what you want, and that life got you, and trusting men, trusting women again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's, no, hot. That's hot, that's
yeah,
very hot.
Yeah, I mean, hot love
that's
is
hot.
Very important,
that's hot,
you
that's
know?
Hot.
And I'm still looking for hot love. I don't know. You know, so far it's pretty cold, the love that I'm looking for. But it's maybe it'll get hotter later. You know? But so let me. I guess that just went by the way.
No, it doesn't. But like, do you feel open? Like, are you missing the O part of?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think I'm not like open.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing the nose.
You're what I feel like is maybe you're doing a lot of what she said is the fancy way of saying nose.
Right.
Of like I'll do it later or I'll wait, but. You know, open, I guess, is part of hot. It's
right.
being part of hot.
Right. Yeah, no, I got to tell you, you know, if there's someone I'm interested in, I get nervous, you know.
Yeah, of course, everyone does.
You know, and
yeah.
you don't want to screw it up.
So what's your you know, May, what do you say when someone's nervous to make a move or something?
Well, for him, so when it's a man, the three P's also plays in here. So your peasant is going at it, right? Oh, no, I don't want to screw it up. I want to be good. I want to prove myself. So that's what a peasant man would be thinking. Mm. But now, if you were a king, you know, it's like you'd be like, I want that woman.
That's true, and you do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm.
Step yeah, over everybody to get her.
That's so good.
Fine. Yeah.
It's just a mindset.
Okay, so I need to think of myself as a king.
You're
then.
The king, man.
Exactly.
Do we get a
You're
crown?
The king, man.
Yeah.
Don't take no for an answer.
That's right. Except when she doesn't.
Well,
right.
yeah. I didn't mean that, you know.
But, you know, there is a mindset of, like, the cowboy or the king that she's saying that it can help you, even if you don't really feel it. You can fake it a little.
Yeah,
yeah?
right?
Yeah.
The alpha male.
The alpha male, that's right.
I know you joke about, you know, the crown. It's funny because when people work with me, I actually gift them a tiara, a beautiful tiara. And when they put that tiara on for women, they just sit up straight and something new come out of them. Mm. This whole place of feeling worthy and seeing their beauty. Because it's really hard to wear a tiara. So for a man, the same thing, you put a crown on, go play, you know, go try it out and see. It, something does change inside you when you step into your power and in your seenness.
Makes sense to me. Now, May, you also have a Hot Life, Hot Love event. Do you want to tell us about that one? That's upcoming in a couple months, right?
Yeah, that's August 19th and 20th in Pleasanton. And I do a two-day event where I will show you how to bring your three P's together, your peasant, your princess, and your priestess, your power together, so that you can really create the hot life with hot love that you want.
Yeah, sounds good. So people can find out more about it. Go to hotlifehotlove.com. That's easy to remember. And you can see all of May's work there and everything. You also have a book, a cool book for divorced moms, The Divorced Mom's Guide to Dating. How to be loved, adored, and cherished.
This is very good.
Yeah. Did you go through a divorce yourself?
I did. I went through a divorce myself. It's just it's the event in my life that I really needed to experience so that I can pull all of my work together and bring my wisdom into the world. So of course, it was a challenging time. It was 10 years ago, and there was lots of nights where I just held my 5-year-old daughter and just cried our way forward, you know. Mm. But it really helped me really understand what it takes to build a lasting and hot relationship with a partner and how to teach other women to do the same.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you guys can get the book. It's on Amazon, of course, The Divorced Mom's Guide to Dating. Our guest today is May Vu. And it's May, M-A-I, and Vu, V-U. And you guys can look her up all over the place. So the event is coming up. What else is next for you, May?
What else is next for me?
Yeah.
Expanding into Florida, actually. Mm. I'm actually going to create an event in Florida in November so that I can reach the East Coast.
Nice.
I have been doing work in Sweden and in California, but I haven't gone to the East Coast yet. So the East Coast is calling.
Wow. East Coast is calling.
What did you say, in Sweden?
Sweden,
wow,
too.
Wow, how did you get there?
Yeah, that is so random.
Yeah, yeah. Out of all the countries in the world.
I know. It actually was Sweden called me to her, really. An old student of mine, I used to train life coaches for the school that I went to. And she was turning 50. So 5 years ago, she called me on Skype and said, you know, I'm turning 50 and I want to spend time with people that I love, and you're one of them. So will you come and celebrate my birthday? So I want to tie that with your conversation earlier on the in this show about your birthday. You're like complaining about there's only one day, it's too short. It's a whole month to celebrate your birthday.
You know? That's right, that's what we were saying.
Well, that's right.
I know. I was raised like birthdays are not a big deal, so even one day is too much.
there's that love part. Letting love in, honey.
That's right. I learned to love myself.
That's right.
Well, Well, Mayvu, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, try and make it. So Pleasanton is, where is it in California? Is it north of here?
It's an hour southeast of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. So it's up there in the near the Bay Area.
The Bay Area.
Very nice up there. So you guys can check it out more. One Weekend can show you how to get the love, support, and success that you long for. That's a big promise, and... If you're giving people tiaras, I can see that in the picture there and everything.
I really want a tiara.
Send her one.
No, I'm kidding.
I would send you one.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, but she's right. There is something about even just a prop, or like when you're on stage. I remember when I was doing theater and they gave me, let's say I was playing a lawyer, the briefcase. There's something about the prop that does something to your body language, right. You know, where you feel
it
a little more.
It does.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, May, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How can people find out more, get in touch with you, social media?
Social media, May Vu Coach on Facebook, Divorce Mom's Guide to Dating. You can look that up. All my information is everywhere. Or you just look up May Vu Coach. Just type that in onto Google and you'll find me.
Sounds good. May, thank you so much. You're very entertaining, full of information, and we really appreciate you spending time with us this morning and being patient till we answer the phone.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was so inspiring to meet you. Thank you for everything that you do. So inspiring.
Thank you so much. Look forward to your tiara.
Yeah, she's going to send you one. There you go.
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much, May. All the best to you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's so cute.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, the boat people, they lost close to 200,000 to 400,000 people died.
That many?
Oh, it's awful. It's a crazy story. And then, like, some Argentinian boatman found, like, they had to all be, it was just crazy.
How did you find them in the middle of the
ocean?
That's
right. It was like shipping people that found them. Wow. Yeah, so they were on the shipping
More house. Luck than anything
yeah,
else, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's insane. And she's really worked towards everything she's done. That's insane.
Yeah.
And if she does send me a tiara, that would be the coolest thing ever. There's something about it. Yeah, I mean, but there is something to be said about, instead of going through, are you looking at yourself through the peasant view of yourself or the high king or queen of yourself? And that's a valid way of looking, changing.
That's true. I need to look at myself as a king.
Yeah.
I really do, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a lifelong thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've made a lot of progress since I was young and stuff, but there's still stuff to learn, you know?
Yeah.
We have a lot of things to overcome.
Yeah.
And with me, it's sort of like confidence, you know?
Yeah.
I think I still need more confidence.
Yeah. I think I need probably less.
but that's not true. I mean, you're afraid of things, right?
But not really like of my capabilities, only like to do activities like CVS parking lots. and like driving myself anywhere. I have a hard time with driving. But you know, you're right. The confidence is hot, and that's part of what she was saying is you gotta
But you're
have
confident
it.
With people, with very, your abilities.
Very, very. And sometimes
see,
over
very important.
Sometimes over.
Nah, that's better.
Yeah, it is it's easier, I will say that, because you can always go down, but it's harder to gain confidence.
Right.
I was brought up in a very supportive family, and I went to that hippie dippy school that that I always talk about. And they just graced you with a lot of self-worth.
Yeah. And you see, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I have a lot of confidence, but not when I'm trying to approach a beautiful woman. That's like...
Is that you're like...
I shut down.
Yeah.
I shut down. It's like my fingers start shaking when I want to text something. I'm like, you know what? I just soon not.
Yeah, because you don't want to have that feeling.
That's so rejection.
Right, exactly. So here's what's really interesting about that. Your fingers are shaking due to something called the reptilian brain, which is part of our brain was like from long time ago.
The primitive part,
right?
Right.
And then we gained like a frontal cortex and all that stuff. And we're much more, you know, advanced. However, when it comes to stuff like that, where it like kind of hits at home, you go into the primitive brain and you do something called fight or flight. And so you start having an enormous amount of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And it's as if a woolly mammoth is running at you. Mm. This is what literally our primitive brain is doing. So you start to shake because you've got so much adrenaline and you are literally in a mode of I'm going to die if I don't either run or fight.
Right.
So you flight, you fought, you run.
You run.
You run. So here's the deal. The best thing to do, this is so interesting. I'm studying this just right now. The best thing to do is when your hands are shaking, all that, this happens to me a lot. I get this too when I go to CVS. But is to say to yourself, there is no woolly mammoth. There is no woolly mammoth. There is no crocodile. I'm not being chased. And then you repeat that over and over until your brain switches from the primitive back into, okay,
yeah,
this is a more sophisticated part of the brain where I'm using my logic and, you know, what will this hurt me? And it won't. So most people go into that fight or flight and they think, I can never feel this feeling, is horrible.
Right.
So they run away and they never want to feel it again. But if you take 20 seconds and tell yourself as you're shaking, don't do anything. Just say, there is no threat to me right now. There is no life threat right now.
Right. No life threat. But you know what? If it's a bruise to your ego, if you feel rejected.
But that's actually no, like there's no harm in that. Does nothing.
That's true. Well, I don't know. It screws up with the confidence.
Ego.
I think that's what happened to me. I think I got rejected when I was younger and that stayed, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I haven't overcome that.
But that's a bruise that you haven't let healed.
Right.
Because that isn't actually doing anything.
Right.
This isn't a prison you've built.
Right. No, absolutely.
It's so weird, but I've done that with myself on things too. It's like, why the door's wide open. You could walk out at any time because even if you get another no, nothing happens.
That's true.
It's just ego. And I think ego is something in Buddhism, ego clinging is why you suffer.
Right.
When you cling to ego, the whole thing is called ego clinging because that's how you suffer. And guess
what? That's true, right?
I don't know how to get away from my
ego. Don't want to bruise your ego so you don't do shit.
Right. And guess what? Nothing is an ego means nothing.
Right.
So it doesn't help you or harm you. That takes a lifetime, though, to get to, I think.
And not only that, but I've learned when I've overcome my fears and I took steps, it's never as horrible as you thought it was going to be, right?
And when they do this for people, let's say like, okay, so I was watching an episode of, what was it, Weird Fears? I don't know. And a woman was terrified, and this is a common phobia, that the floors weren't going to be able to hold up everything. She was going to crash. When she walked into the kitchen, the floor was going to collapse because there was a refrigerator and the stove. She had this crazy weird thing, but it's actually very well-known phobia of things collapsing under you. You don't think it can hold the weight. So she would step into the kitchen and she'd have the fight or flight as if the woolly mammoth is coming. And what happens is, just like you said, once you stay there for 20 seconds, nothing bad actually happens. Mm. Once you go through it, and as soon as she calms down from a 10 to a 7, you start to get back into the regular brain. And then you realize nothing has happened.
Yeah.
But an adrenaline rush.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. You know,
scientifically, nothing has actually gone on. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You just sort of like, that's the thing. I mean, if you don't take chances and risks and everything, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, you got to ask.
Exactly. And the problem is people do anything to avoid the exact feeling you're saying. So what you're like, I just don't want to have that feeling, even for 2 seconds.
Right. I don't want to feel like a fool.
Right. Even for one half of a nanosecond.
Right.
And so you say,
it's a bad feeling.
It's a bad feeling. But in reality, that bad feeling is not a threat to you in any way.
Right.
But that's very difficult to get over.
It does stay
with
us.
That's an ego. That's an ego thing.
Yeah.
But it stays with you because you choose. You
right,
don't have to,
right. Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, and that's the thing is that I learned at a workshop that, you know, the walls we build around us to protect us as kids become a prison walls when we grow up
and then
we can't get out.
Totally. You
know? So, and it was funny, that workshop, it was more like a, you do things rather than talk about him.
Oh, cool.
He makes you like sort of like live your feelings.
Whoa.
So this woman had a problem with socializing with people. She couldn't really come out of her shell. And
social
stuff,
anxiety,
right?
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she felt she was like in a bubble, you know, and he drew like a line on the floor, and he said, okay, this is you on one side. These are the other people on the other side. Go ahead and cross that line. She couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She couldn't do it.
And what's so interesting is that what he's pointing out is there was no actual line there. There was a piece of tape on the ground.
Right.
And yet the threat to her was that uncomfortable feeling of crossing over. She would do anything to avoid it.
To avoid it.
And what people do with drugs is they take drugs to avoid the feelings, and they'll kill themselves over it.
Yeah.
So it's like, but if you notice that if she stepped over that line and was uncomfortable for 20 to 20 minutes even, nothing's happened. Just her breath, just the feeling of adrenaline. That is it.
Right.
The primitive brain can't hurt you. It can make you feel like you are about to be killed.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. And it's a good thing. You know, it's a survival thing.
However, it hits us inappropriately.
Right.
That's right. You know,
situations where we don't need to fight or flight.
Exactly. Like, you asking out a girl shouldn't feel like a bow and arrow is being chased at you from a tribe.
Right.
A primitive tribe. You shouldn't have to have that. So when you cognitive behavioral therapy literally is switching the brain from primitive to the higher power. That's all it is.
Wow.
And it takes a lot because people don't want to go into the primitive brain because it feels like shit.
Yeah.
But even though it feels like shit, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't physically harm you. It doesn't monetarily harm you. No one has seen it. Nothing has happened. That's you feel true. Like crap, but you get if you move through it like a wave, it doesn't have to come back.
Right.
It's very hard, though. I'm just saying this is not easy.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it's hard for me to cross that line sometimes.
Isn't it
you know?
Interesting?
It is very much
even
so.
Though it's
I look
just a
at
piece
it
of
as
tape.
Like a line.
Yeah.
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 It's hard for me to do it. And only in special situations.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'll be, you know me, I talk to everybody.
Sure.
Elevator.
So social.
Every, you know.
Totally.
That's
and you
what
look
I'm
like.
But we have fears, you know.
Right. Exactly. And like, it looks like on the outside, super confident with the ladies, like super
right,
like,
right.
Owns the station, like really cool. But like, just like that, like I could go on stage and talk to strangers, millions of them, and be fine. I don't like to drive into a parking lot in a mall. That is crazy.
Yeah.
I have honors at University of Michigan. I could probably find my way out. I can't do it. So yeah, I don't cross that line.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different line. And
that's true.
My teacher, Pema, was saying her aunt's line is when someone moves a lamp just an inch a different way. Like everything has to be perfect.
Perfect. Right?
So for her, that line and her uncle is not getting a cup of coffee in the morning. So everyone, even if it's little things like that, it could set your whole day off because that line you won't cross. But nothing actually happens when you move the lamp or
that's
you don't get
true,
coffee.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
But it takes a lifetime of trying to do this.
I know.
You have to really be a warrior, you know?
And it's difficult when you have to have things perfect. I'm like that too, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like going around and turning
the
microphone
a little bit. Yeah, you just moved your water bottle.
Yeah, my water bottle, my microphones, the chair. See, the chair is not straight, so it bothers me.
See, that I would
things
never.
Things like that,
that's
you
right.
know?
And that's your line.
I need the right angles.
That's right.
And that's a freaking obsession.
And that is. And what that is, again, it's another masking tape on the floor. It doesn't actually hurt you that this chair is that way, but it's a
it doesn't
line on
hurt
the ground.
Anybody.
It doesn't, but it really but if you exactly, but it bothers you. So if you can allow that to happen and realize when you go from a 10 to hating that chair is so upsetting to a 5, it kind of goes away.
Right.
And you switch back to, but it's hard.
Right, right. And you have to accept you can't straighten every chair because sometimes it's not chairs, it's people.
That's
or
right.
situations,
that's right.
you know, and you
that's
can't
right.
fix them the way you want it.
That's right.
You know?
And I think that's, and just like the girl that couldn't walk into the kitchen, It's like that for you. Like it gets your adrenaline high. It
right.
spikes.
Right.
And nobody wants that feeling. But if you sit with a spike for just give it 20 seconds, 10 seconds, see if you can come down from a 10 to a 9. So next time you're in a panic, like I'm going to a parking lot, let's say, and I approach the thing. What's the thing where you get your ticket and the thing goes up, the bar?
Yeah.
All right. I'm probably at a 9 at that point. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm going to crash in or I can't reach the ticket and there's 100 people behind me. If no one's behind me, I just literally will sit in the car and get down to like an 8.
Wow.
Because I'll be like, oh my God, I'm going to cut. And if no one's there, I'll like stop. Don't
calm
do anything.
Down,
yeah.
Man.
Then again, I don't often try this because I can't go to the mall parking lot, but I'm trying.
Wow. I know. But I'm just thinking of
all the lines,
the relationships and opportunities I missed out on.
Yeah, sure.
Because I didn't take the steps.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Because I couldn't leave the house or I couldn't drive myself.
Right.
You and know? These are arbitrary, bizarre phobias people have.
Right. I call them scratches. You know, we have a scratch in our brain. Like you scratch a record.
That's lovely.
You know?
Yeah. That's such a good way of looking at it. But what's interesting is there is no actual physical scratch.
No,
that's
no,
the
it's
problem.
In your mind.
It is.
Yeah, but it can be powerful. Obviously,
it's very powerful.
Yeah, because it all happens when we're kids. We're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know.
For instance, like at my hippy dippy school, I was taught to just say everything out loud at all times of what I'm feeling. Turns out that's not how people just act all the time, and it can bother some people.
Yeah, right.
And it can bother, you know, relatives and, you know, friends and family. So I have to, and my in-laws are not like that. Okay, so my whole family's like, my husband's like, well, you wouldn't have an argument with your mom in the middle of a supermarket, and I was like, yeah, I would.
I would,
like, that's
right?
Exactly when I'd have it. So I've had to learn, you know, right, just as a child, like, you know, you have to learn and change. But it's when you approach the stuff, when you get to the line on the sand that we were talking about, or the moving the microphone, or doing the thing you're scared of, calling the girl, all that, getting to the parking lot. What's so funny is that's the most interesting time to go Buddhist and mentally take some time, because it's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah,
it's like real juicy.
Yeah.
So it's actually like exciting because you are dealing with stuff and you get to make some realistic changes, but it's scary, but it doesn't have to be.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it's still scary.
Well, we're learning some lessons about ourselves
Buddhism
today, folks.
And things. No, but it, you know what I mean? Like, that stuff is helpful in the moment. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in a, and how many times in your life have you been in a panic? A lot. And so you need something to help you then.
Yeah, that's
not like
true.
Afterwards, or, you know, a book. I want to know what to do when I'm freaking almost peeing in my pants, you know.
Right,
what do
right.
I do then?
Exactly. Rather than take some drugs and
yeah,
be numb to it.
Totally,
you know?
Someone help me with the panic part. Like, literally.
Well, I know a lot of irrational fears we have, you
yeah
know, as people.
Very much so. And, you know, a lot of them are, you say, Carl Jung says, you know, he's a philosopher and sort of a, you know, a thinker.
Psychologist.
Yeah,
right?
And a psychologist. But really, like, he, certain things are just scary to, like, almost all children. For instance, like, shadows moving in the dark are sort of archetypal, we call them Jungian, scary things.
Mm.
So there are things that in your brain, just like a moving shadow at night, that's going to be a primitive scary thing for anyone. But the thing with us now is you evolve and you get all these fakakta things.
Yeah, right.
My parking lot.
Totally irrelevant.
Oh, my God. So stupid. I like, oh.
But it's real, you know?
It is.
It
but it's not.
Us.
That's the problem. When we say it's real and emphasize that it's a real scratch or a real thing, we put into our brains that it can be stop us. There is no stop. There
yeah
is no stop sign.
No, but the fear is real. I mean,
the fear is real. 100%.
You freeze and,
oh,
you
yeah
know.
And the adrenaline is real.
Right.
And the nausea is real. And the peeing in the pants is real. But guess what? None of that hurts you really after
right
about a minute.
That's true.
So it's like the people that get over their fear don't necessarily not have the fear. They just are like, all right, I'm going to feel like
anyway
shit for about 5 minutes.
Right.
And they do it anyway.
Right. And I've done so many things like that
yeah
in my life,
I know,
you know?
Yeah.
Just that there's certain...
there's the blockages.
Yeah.
And I think that when you think of reincarnation, if you do, or, you know, spiritual afterlife, it's those blockages that make you move past... The next life might be better because you've... walked through that line.
Right. It's like you sort of like learned that
yeah
lesson and you're moving
that's
on
right
to the next
that's right
one.
Yeah. And you're like, maybe the next time that lady has the next life, she'll move past that line and cross, you know?
Right.
And
exactly
until then, she will always have this issue.
Right.
So,
and my theory also is that the hardest thing for you to do in life, that's your lesson.
I know.
Right? Even though it's the thing you hate the most and it's hardest for you, but that's probably why you're here, to
I
learn
know
to overcome that.
Yeah, like I can't say no to a lot of people, and so I end up like canceling at the last minute and it's really bad.
Wow.
But I have a really, I'm very scared of being in trouble by saying like I can't.
Wow.
And I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten me in way more trouble. And it keeps appearing over and over, these situations.
Right, until you
until
work it
I'll
out,
until I freaking
right
do it, it yeah won't go away.
Exactly. It's going to chase you lifetime after
God
lifetime.
I know.
So you might as well figure it out.
I know.
You know?
Well, yeah. And go through the uncomfortable part.
Yeah.
And realize that there's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. I know. There's a book called Feel the Fear and Do It
Anyway.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And PEMS is like getting comfortable with uncertainty. Same feeling
yeah
of like,
yeah,
you're going to have to go through a feeling of being like, you're going to feel like shit for a second,
yeah,
but get over it.
Yeah. True that.
True dat.
Yes.
Now I'm going to be like, Tori, time to go a mall parking lot.
I know. Let's go all do the things we're scared of today.
Yeah, let us know, like tweet or email, or let us know what stuff is weird and inappropriately scary for you guys, because it's probably everyone has something.
That's true.
Right?
And yeah. You know,
yeah, I want to hear these. These are, because it's really.
And I find that when you do it anyway, the feeling is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I remember that very clearly when I wanted to jump off a high diving board.
Oh, don't even talk really to me about a high diving board. Yeah, that's a really scary
one.
Yeah,
until I took the dip, and that was like, forget about it. Now I'm going to do it all the time.
See, right? I did the dip, and then I still hated it. So there's things like that where I'm like, okay, I don't enjoy it, but I've done it. Like, right? Yeah. I would enjoy going to the mall alone. I like to shop, but I can't get past the freaking ticket booth.
Tell me something. What if you take an Uber? Would that work?
So that I have a problem with getting hard time.
In a car with a stranger.
The car, yeah. It's the car. It's getting there. Yeah, as soon as I'm in the mall, mommy can shop for hours, and I'm a mama in this situation. It's getting there. For some reason, transportation has become like
a
thing.
Yeah, well, maybe it's made you overly anxious, you know, all the traffic here and stuff.
I don't know. It's bizarre. And in New York, I was on the subway. I was taking buses. Yeah, I was like cross town. So I got to stop being a little puss and get it together.
Yeah. All right, well, another show in the can, folks.
Yes.
Thank you all
for
joining us.
Face your fears, guys.
Face your fears. Do it anyway. Yeah. Don't take us as an example.
Or do, because we're learning. And we're trying.
Exactly. We thank Mayvu for sparking up this great conversation.
Absolutely.
Check her out, hotlifehotlove.com. And tomorrow's Friday. We're going to have an awesome show.
Nice.
It'll be like a party. We're going to have a few beautiful women here.
Oh.
I'm going to be in my element.
Oh.
And
are you
going
to act like
a
king? Should we get you a crown?
I need to. I better.
So is this a day we want to feel really kingly tomorrow?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Mom is going to give
you
those.
So join us if you like fun Friday shows.
Yes.
We always love a lot of people in the studio. So there you go. We'll have full house. Everybody, take good care of yourselves and see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.